And I'm very happy to be here with you this morning and to have an opportunity to present our next speaker. Those of you who were fortunate enough to be with us yesterday afternoon had the privilege and the pleasure of letting her share her personal story with us and giving us a chance to know her better and to love her more. Paula has been sober in AA over 14 years. For the past 8 years, she has been connected with General Service work in New York as a member of our Grapevine staff. She is now the managing editor of our Grapevine. And I don't know of any other publication that receives the distribution, is more widely read, and more readily acceptable, and is loved any more than our publication known as The Grapevine. And it is my pleasure and my privilege to present to you this morning Paula C., the managing editor of our Grapevine from New York.
Signed to this area, and that he had gone into a cold, bleak room, and that it was completely bare, that there was no, he couldn't make the stove work. But one thing he had found on the dresser was a copy of the AA Grapevine. And he sat down and read the Grapevine. He had never seen it before. He knew nothing about AA. And he said the whole room became alive and warm to him. And he wanted to know how he, too, could help carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, I had goose flesh. I was completely unable to work. This was my first day. And I thought, if I'm going to have this happen every day, I couldn't take it. One real experience after another. But it has been like that. It really has been. It is almost, I'm afraid I've gotten a little used to it. But it is a great privilege to be there. And I'd like to tell you a little history of the Grapevine. Many of you may know a great deal more than I do. And I presume and hope that many of you have read The Grapevine or have at least seen it. It does manage to get around. This is the November issue of The Grapevine. And this is our little, we call it the miniature Grapevine. It does not come out every month. But it is you can really have a marvelous meeting with this alone. It gives Grapevine history and AA history. It is going to be updated for 1970. It now only goes through 1966. But I've been caught many a time when I have been able to reach in and pull this out for a meeting, placed also for telephone numbers. And this was one of the first things that was given to me. Well, as everything in AA comes about because of a need, so came the Grapevine. In June of 1944, 25 years ago, a group of, quote, ink-stained volunteers, unquote, decided that they were going to send the message to our men in the service, our AA boys, so that they could have a meeting in print. And they did. They started out with that first issue, and it was about this size, and like a newsletter. And it stayed in that format until 1947, when we have the pocket size. Well, the groups at home heard about this, became interested, and began writing for a copy. And so the General Service Board turned to the groups and asked them if they would like to have this publication. And the response was overwhelming. And so by 1947, we had a circulation of 2,000, September 1969, our circulation is 54,000. However, that is only the circulation. That is not the readership. We have done some sort of a survey, and we find that due to pass-alongs to newcomers, to institutions, and to hospitals, we have a readership of at least 150,000. So as long as we can be self-supporting on our 54,000, we are very content. The main point is to see that the message is made available, and especially in institutions. Well, during these years of 1944 to 1964, the Grapevine was subsidized by the General Service Office, or General Service Board, I beg your pardon, which of course shows that they believed in the Grapevine, because the Grapevine was in the red all of this time. And it was in 1964 that the Grapevine came into the black and had the great pleasure of being able to pay off their debt of some $11,000 to the general fund. That was a great day for all of us. You'd think we'd reached in our pockets and done it ourselves. We were so excited. And in the years following, 65, 66, 67, no, 66 it started, through 68, we have been able to contribute several thousand dollars each year to the general fund, and we feel as if we have finally grown up and come of age. Well, we didn't do this. We didn't do it. You did it. All over, every one of the AAs and the Al-Anons, because believe me, I know how they read it. I know from the mail that we receive from Al-Anon. Most heartwarming. So, as I say, we have come of age. Now, at the General Service Office, which many of you have been to, the Grapevine has offices. We are on both sides of that floor, the 18th floor, at 305 East 45th Street. Due to inflation and rising costs and doubling of rent, we are moving after the first of the year to what is known as Nonprofit Row, which is lower Park Avenue, around 31st Street. And we all are going to be together there. We will miss this. We look over the UN, and it is very convenient for everyone. But somehow or other, I think, when I saw the offices, which will be changed, of course, on 31st Street, it won't be long. It won't be any time at all, because before we'll all feel as if we've been there all the time. And I think we have a little more space, too, and this will be very helpful. Well, we have a board, the corporate board of the AA Grapevine, is comparable, but separate from, the AA World Service Board. Both of these boards are owned by the General Service Board, but they are separate entities. The Grapevine is a stock corporation. All of the stock belongs to the General Service Board, and they have given authority to the corporate board to act for them. Now, we have great participation on the 18th floor. We have two directors who are AA trustees, one who is a non-AA trustee. I am secretary of the board and therefore work very closely with the chairman. I'm also vice president. I don't know what the vice president does, but I sure know what the secretary does. And our editor is a director, and we have a business man who is treasurer. Now, I always report monthly. We only meet quarterly, but I report monthly Grapevine happenings to AA World Services. I also am a member of the PI Committee and International Committee. Every week on Wednesday, generally, we have a staff meeting at General Service Office, and I am always there to share and learn by osmosis. And believe me, that is the way I have learned. I am liaison to the general, you know, it sounds like a big office. We're a very small office. I haven't told you that yet. There are two AAs, Jack and I on editorial, and we have a non-AA secretary. And we have six people in our mailing, circulation, and bookkeeping, and they are non-AAs. And I wear many hats, naturally, so does Jack. And one of my hats is handling, as managing editor, the personnel, not the AA personnel, the business personnel, and the hiring and the firing. This has been one of the most difficult things I have ever had to do. I told you yesterday how I had always sought approval. Well, there's no way of receiving approval when you fire. And it is a sad, sad thing. But I have learned this too, and maybe, just maybe, it has helped a little with humility. I don't know. Now, how we operate at the Grapevine. Well, first of all, I'd say we operate entirely on group conscience. That is, Jack and I, instead of the editor having final authority, we agreed that it didn't make sense, because if we have the group conscience, we felt that our final authority was God, and under God we always find the group conscience. And so we are structured with exactly the same authority. We have a staff meeting every morning. I, after I have finished the mail, take it into Jack and discuss it with him, select an excerpt from the letters from all over the world for our carrying the message page, and then I pile up the manuscripts, which also come in from all over the world. And about 60% of the material that goes into the Grapevine comes right cold across the desk. The other 40%, I would say, after all, we do have in AA many men and women who are professional writers, professional artists, not one of whom have ever received a penny for their contribution. And they have contributed material of very high caliber. As a matter of fact, it's wonderful to work with a pro. I love working with the writers. Oh, I love working with all of them, and especially seeing some non-writers develop into real writers through the Grapevine. They'll write and tell me they sold their first story commercially, and this is a great thing. But if you receive an article from a pro, and I'm thinking of one especially, Lou H. in California. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. You know, you look at it and you just don't have to worry too much. You don't have to edit. You don't have to. But he will inevitably say, do whatever you want with this. Cut it down. Edit. Throw it away. It's fine. It helped me writing it. And then you will get some very carefully worded manuscript of 30 or 40 pages, and at the end it will say, please publish as is, no changes. Well, we do get the most marvelous mail, and we get the kookiest mail too. I mean, really and truly. But they're all treated with TLC. We had a real experience. I shouldn't take up too much time, but I'd love to tell you this. We had a marvelous experience about a month ago. The Grapevine has very few policies. One of the most important things, of course, is that we abide by the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, and our primary purpose of sharing AA experience with readers. We cannot publish poetry. We cannot publish tributes. We cannot, it's heartbreaking because they are marvelous, but as AA grows, I think you could understand that there are marvelous sponsors who are going from among us to that higher meeting. There are co-founders of groups all over, and people want to show their gratitude. And we receive poetry. Sometimes I feel that nobody ever reads Grapevine because the Grapevine has never published a piece of poetry. But we receive tons of poetry, literally. And it is pathetic that we can't do anything about it. Now, we have tried to. We thought we'd have a poetry book, and we looked through it, and quite honestly, about 2 out of 100 are worth publishing. So that really wouldn't work out. But we received a letter from a man in Maryland. He wrote, and I'll paraphrase the whole thing. I wish I brought the correspondence. He wrote that he was a professor, and he was rooming at the house of George Van B., who was his landlord, and who, I really should tell you the name because it didn't, you see, it threw us. The name was George Von Bibber, was what he said. And he said that George had come to AA a few years ago and was now sober and had sent in a poem to the Grapevine. The Grapevine rejected the poetry, and George, having felt that he had finally reached a point in his life where he was somebody, having written this poem and expecting to have it published, had started to drink. Well, they said, please do something about this. The address was there, the whole thing. Everybody said, somebody's putting you on. Well, you can't take that chance. So I wrote a letter to the professor and told him that I was contacting a group in Maryland who would contact George. And I did. I looked in the World Directory, and I found a name, and I wrote. And I asked them that if there was a George Von Bibber at this address, and I sent them a copy of the letter. And nothing happened. Well, about 3 days later, I got a letter from the professor again saying that it was all too late, that George had gone down very, very fast, and he had said in his dying breath that the Grapevine was becoming nothing but a Reader's Digest, and they wouldn't do this and they wouldn't do that, and his life was over. Well, now, you know, you never read such drivel. And that they had taken him to the hospital, and he had a few quiet moments. Every once in a while you'd read something and it would throw you. And before he breathed his last. Well, everybody said, what'll we do? Some insisted, and we took it to our editorial board. And, of course, they said, well, the very name, George Von Bibber. Of course they're putting you on. Well, I couldn't let it rest. I telephoned the hospital. They gave the name of the hospital where he died. Well, they went right through medical records, and there had been no such person or any accident or anything. And I sent this letter on to the gal in Maryland I hadn't heard from. Finally, 2 or 3 days later, she wrote to me, and she said, I know George Von Bibber. He is a landlord. There are no professors. He has written the letter himself. I'm sure he's a nut. He's just gone off to Europe. Now that he has died, I hope you won't be bothered with him anymore, but thank God for your interest and caring. And I thought that was lovely. We went through an awful lot, you know, for this one person playing a hoax. Being completely, but they knew him. He was around on the fringes, apparently. And he had done this himself. But supposing we hadn't, as she said, thank God for your care. I mean, you know, it's that one that you might say, oh, you know. Good. On the other hand, we'll have a letter. I had a letter from a writer in Ohio who told me that his secretary had a terrific problem and had gone to Florida. He had never been able to do anything with her, and did I know anybody in Florida? I wrote to the delegate down in Florida, Fred, Pompano Beach. He contacted the gal. She was ready to do something. He and his wife took her to meetings, and when he came up for the conference, he told me that she just was the most active person and the most excited person. So you see, the grapevine does play a part in 12-step work, too, inadvertently. Now, at the office, we also circulate all mail. This is a wonderful way of finding material for the grapevine and also for learning what is going on in everybody's assignment, because it is quite a job when you're trying to answer telephones and meet deadlines and read script and everything else, to also try and find out just where the movement is at this particular moment and what is happening and being a part of. So being liaison, I am very, very fortunate. We find that the grapevine is read, well, by mostly, I should say, generally AAs and Al-Anons, by loners, internationalists. We have even had letters from loners who have told us that they have stayed sober on just reading the grapevine. There are people in Spain, in South America, all over, who receive the grapevine airmail. I can understand this. This is an impatience. And they can't. I mean, you know, when I came into AA and I heard somebody was sober 5 years, I wanted to turn around and go out the door. Why bother? I had just one day. I wanted to be 5 years. And although I would say, well, now, it'll only take 3 months, and then next month you'll sort of be caught up. No, they'd rather spend $20. That was nothing when they drank. And so they receive it airmail. And who writes the grapevine? Well, I can always say that I love the grapevine, that I think it's a great little magazine. I think it's marvelous, because I don't write it. I read it. I help edit it. I help select the issues. But the writing of it is you people. And this, I think, is a tremendous thing that we have. Since I have been there, the mail has tripled. The quality of material has certainly tripled. It is really a fantastic little operation. I often wonder, we receive a great deal of fan mail. Now, I'm not asking for any of the other kind, but sometimes I rather wonder. Well, I remember we had an editor, a part-time editor, several years ago, and every week he'd come in and he'd say, well, now let me see the mail, and I'd hand it to him. And he'd say, well, he said, what are you doing with the beefs? Burning them? Because we didn't get anything like that, and we haven't. Maybe once a year we do, and we all go to pieces, because we're not used to it. But on the whole, the fellowship certainly seems to really love the grapevine. Well, of course, as you know, we don't take any advertising in the grapevine. We do go by our tradition of self-support, and we have a great many people, oh, coffee companies and whatnot, who are always saying, I mean, but after all, you drink coffee, and, you know, and even AA members who are in business and don't quite understand the traditions would like to have a little notice put in. But we can't do any of this. It sometimes seems a shame, because Some AA members will become quite incensed over it. They cannot understand. It is their magazine, and you can point out the traditions until doomsday. And I'm hoping that they will start reading the series that we have started here in November. We have the first tradition written from personal experience rather than telling you how to do it. And you can find so much in that article. And in January, we are having the steps really written, articles written from almost the same point of view. We have 12 different authors for that. And so far, about 10 of the articles have come in. And they are eye-openers because they are by different people. They're an entirely different concept, perhaps, from what I might be thinking. But they sure make you flexible. They are marvelous. They are really, really very, very good. We have an editorial board which meets on alternate months. And they have to be from around New York because we meet at 5:30 on the third Tuesday in the month. And they are people who have creative abilities and professional writers and artists. All of our art material is done by professionals who are members of AA, and they meet and they give us guidance. And if I have something like Von Bibber and a few controversial articles, they will come up with a group conscience about it. And this is very, very helpful, not only for that, but these busy, busy people in television and in newspaper work and radio always find time to contribute something to the grapevine. And this is very, very heartwarming. I don't want to take up too much of your time. So I'd love to have some questions and answers, but I know we don't have time, and I know that I've forgotten a great many things that I wanted to tell you. But anyway, I wanted to give you a capsule version of it. And I can't think of a better way to characterize the grapevine than it was done in Bill's book, AA Comes of Age. He said, "It is our biggest and best means of communicating current AA thought and experience in staying sober, in hanging together, and in serving." He added that it was a sort of magic carpet on which all of us can travel from one distant AA outpost to another. And I have found it so, simply as an AA reading the grapevine. Not as a staff member. I found it so long before I came to the grapevine. I was a GVR. We do have GVRs, that is, grapevine representatives in areas, and the delegates certainly carry the message for us. We at the conference, the grapevine has its conference committee, and we meet once or twice during the conference. And this has been of the most tremendous value to us in what we should do and what we cannot do. Sometimes there is a very, very fine line, and we get that group conscience. It is, we had a question come up not long ago about the grapevines. If we have passed grapevines, which we send, anybody gives us an address of an institution or a hospital, we send a package. We had a spring cleaning about 5 years ago at the conference, and believe me, we got rid of a tremendous amount. Now, we're almost always out of stock on the present copies, but we are pretty much out. But this one area asked that they receive grapevines for their institutions at cost. Well, that's a problem that we have to take up at the conference, because we are not so equipped. If we do this for one, we should do it for all. We are willing to send all that we have free of charge. but they feel that they would like to have the grapevine. And I think that there is a very good point. I can see both sides. Because, after all, we know that the grapevine does a great deal of good in the institutions. These people who are coming out, who have joined AA, and who are coming out and taking their place in society are certainly, AA is doing a wonderful thing for society in having the groups in the institutions and having the grapevine and any material they can have. But this is one of the things to give you an idea of. But meantime, we go on sending out. And if any of you here have any pet institution or hospital that you'd like us to send a package to, please ask me, give me the name and address, and I'll be very happy to do it. And I want to thank you so much for being here, for listening. I'm having a perfectly wonderful time, and I love all of you. Thank you.